Welcome to Nightlights. I'm David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, I'll be playing music from Miles Davis, Wes Montgomery, Hank Mobley, Charles Mingus, Ornette Coleman, John Coltrane, and Max Roach, all from a single year in the history of jazz. It's 1960, jazz at the dawn of a decade, coming up next on Nightlights.
I'd like you to meet a friend of ours who goes by the name of Killer Joe. Picture a so-called hippie or hip cat standing on a corner in a neatly pressed, double-breasted, form-fitting pinstripe suit, a pair of pointed-toed shoes with bold white stitches around the soles, a black shirt, long white tie, a black pencil mustache, and of course, a very wide-brimmed black felt hat. Killer Joe always has a pocket full of loot, but only the kind that jingles. You see, he likes to play the horses. He is most certainly a ladies' man. As a matter of fact, he is always willing to accept cash contributions from them for any cause, namely his own. The most important thing about Killer Joe that you have to know is that he's very much against manual labor. Killer Joe. Killer Joe.
Benny Golson and Art Farmer's Jazz Tet in 1960 doing Killer Joe from the album Meet the Jazz Tet. 1960, the year of the Kennedy-Nixon presidential race in the United States. White and black college students began sit-ins at segregated lunch counters as the civil rights movement continued to build momentum in the South. Alfred Hitchcock's film Psycho opened. The Soviet Union shot down a U.S. U-2 spy plane and held its pilot captive. The Congo gained independence from Belgium. And in South Africa, the African National Congress was outlawed by the white apartheid government. I'll be featuring some jazz recordings of note from the year of 1960, when social and cultural changes that had been brewing since the end of World War II began to come more and more to the forefront. The jazz world was witnessing change as well, with many musicians falling under the modal jazz spell of Miles Davis's Kind of Blue, as well as the free jazz influence of saxophonist Ornette Coleman, whose music was either bewildering or liberating, depending on who you talk to. In the meantime, the kind of hard bop epitomized by Blue Note Records maintained its own strong sway. And I'll start off with something from a classic in that genre, saxophonist Hank Mobley's Soul Station. Personal problems had kept Mobley off the scene for much of 1958 and 1959, and the subtle rhythmic and harmonic rewards of his playing style did not gain him the high-profile following that some of his contemporaries enjoyed. As Bob Blumenthal would write years later, at a time when Sonny Rollins had mysteriously withdrawn from the scene, John Coltrane had finally formed his own working band, and Ornette Coleman was introducing his revolutionary concepts in the clubs of New York, Mobley's kind of saxophone playing simply did not seem epical enough. Good as it was, it would not change the world. But when Mobley stepped into the studio in February of 1960, he laid down an album that would ultimately notch him a place in jazz history. Hank Mobley and This I Dig of You on Nightlights.
Thank you.
tenor saxophonist Hank Mobley doing his composition This I Dig of You with Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Art Blakey on drums from the 1960 Blue Note album Soul Station, an album many critics consider to be Mobley's masterpiece. That same year, a guitarist from Indianapolis made a record that some consider to be his masterpiece. The guitarist was Wes Montgomery, 36 years old, when he recorded his second album as a leader after being discovered by Cannonball Adderley the year before in an Indianapolis after-hours club. Montgomery had been around for years, even toured with Lionel Hampton's big band at the end of the 1940s, but it wasn't until Adderley urged Riverside Records to sign him that Montgomery's star finally began to rise in the jazz world. The album, The Incredible Jazz Guitar of Wes Montgomery, lived up to the hype of its title, with Montgomery's octave-driven, thumb-picked, forcefully swung style showcased on a mix of jazz standards and the guitarist originals, including one that would become a jazz standard itself. Here's Wes Montgomery doing his tune 4/6. Thank you. Guitarist Wes Montgomery doing his composition 4-on-6 with Tommy Flanagan on piano, Percy Heath on bass, and Albert Tootie Heath on drums from the 1960 album The Incredible Jazz Guitar of Wes Montgomery. 1960 also saw tenor saxophonist John Coltrane's final departure from Miles Davis's working group. Coltrane had been playing off and on with Miles for 5 years and was finally ready to become a leader himself, and the records he made over the next 7 years would help shape the sound of jazz for decades to come. In October of 1960, he recorded several albums worth of material in 1 week, including a version of a song from the Broadway musical The Sound of Music that would become a huge hit for him, My Favorite Things. Writing about these albums, Coltrane biographer Lewis Porter says they have the freshness of discovery. They're full of lightness and grace, buoyant and yet at the same time fiery, passionate, and deep. They also periodically feature Coltrane on the soprano saxophone and highlight many of his own compositions as well. We'll hear one such example, the ballad Central Park West. As for Miles Davis, in 1960 he completed the final album in his trilogy of orchestral masterpieces with Gil Evans, Sketches of Spain, the trumpeter and arranger this time fusing their modern jazz approaches with Spanish folk themes. After they'd finished, Miles later wrote in his autobiography, "I didn't have nothing inside me. I was drained of all emotion." Here's Miles Davis with Gil Evans doing Sayata. John Coltrane performing his composition Central Park West, recorded in 1960 with McCoy Tyner on piano, Steve Davis on bass, and Elvin Jones on drums, from the album Coltrane Sound. Before that, Miles Davis doing Sayata from his 1960 album Sketches of Spain. I'll have more jazz from the year of 1960 in just a few moments. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music, DVDs, turntables, and more, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, and 100% fruit smoothies made with locally grown and organic ingredients. On the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm David Bren Johnson, and you're listening to 1960, Jazz at the Dawn of a Decade, on Nightlights. I'm playing jazz from the year 1960 on this edition of Nightlights. 1960, a year in which some signs of the change and tumult that would follow later in the decade were already becoming apparent. And one such instance was the Newport Jazz Festival. Begun in 1954, in 6 years the festival had become a big event for both the jazz establishment and college-age fans, and some younger progressive jazz musicians like Charles Mingus felt that it did not do enough to highlight them, or pay enough either, and that it had grown too conservative. Mingus and drummer Max Roach started a counter-festival at an area hotel, billing themselves as the Newport Rebels, and drew enough people and attention for Time magazine to dub them the festival's brightest note. The official festival itself came to a halt after thousands of young fans rioted drunkenly in the streets, ultimately requiring the National Guard to restore order and inspiring poet Langston Hughes to deliver a spontaneous elegy for the festival. The Newport Jazz Festival would return in 2 years, but the riots and the rise of the Newport Rebels signaled the change that was about to come. The Rebels bridged the jazz generations, including swing-era veterans as well as young modernist and avant-garde players. Here's a November 1960 studio version of the Newport Rebels doing Mysterious Blues on Nightlights. Thank you.
Thank you.
the Newport Rebels doing Mysterious Blues with Charles Mingus on bass, Jimmy Nepper on trombone, Roy Eldridge on trumpet, Eric Dolphy on alto sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, and Joe Jones on drums from the album Newport Rebels, recorded in 1960. Ornette Coleman's quartet was one of the groups to appear at Mingus's Newport Rebels Counter Festival. Throughout 1960, Coleman remained an active force on the jazz scene, which was still reverberating from the impact of his 1959 performances at the Five Spot nightclub in New York City. In December, he and Eric Dolphy both appeared on a Gunther Schuller record that brought together elements of Schuller's third stream jazz meets classical aesthetic, Coleman and Dolphy's own approaches to improvising, and the music of influential pianist Thelonious Monk. The very next day, Coleman would record his monumental double quartet LP, Free Jazz, with Dolphy joining in the proceedings again. From Jazz Abstractions, here's Ornette Coleman with Eric Dolphy, Bill Evans, and others performing Gunther Schuller's arrangement of Thelonious Monk's Crisscross. Ornette Coleman and Eric Dolphy performing Variants on a Theme of Thelonious Monk, Part 1, with Bill Evans on piano, Jim Hall on guitar, George DeVivier and Scott LaFaro on bass, Eddie Costa on vibes, Stick Jones on drums, and the Contemporary String Quartet, all under the direction of Gunther Schuller, from the album John Lewis Presents Jazz Abstractions, recorded in December of 1960. I'll close out this tribute to 1960 with music from an album that overtly addressed the racial issues that would have such a profound impact on the politics of American life and American jazz throughout the 1960s. We Insist, the Freedom Now suite, grew out of drummer Max Roach and singer-songwriter Oscar Brown's efforts to write a work for the upcoming 100th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. Instead, it became an early jazz landmark for the civil rights movement's most turbulent decade. The cover of the album directly alluded to the lunch counter sit-in movement that young students had begun in an attempt to integrate Southern restaurants. From the album We Insist, here's Max Roach with vocalist Abby Lincoln doing Freedom Day.
Thank you. lying can it really be? Can't conceive it, don't believe it, but that's what they say. Slave no longer, this is Freedom Day. Freedom Day, it's Freedom Day. Throw those shackling chains away.
Close with Max Roach doing Freedom Day, featuring vocalist Abby Lincoln, trumpeter Booker Little, tenor saxophonist Walter Benton, and trombonist Julian Priester, from the album We Insist, Max Roach's Freedom Now Suite, recorded in 1960. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music, DVDs, turntables, and more, located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, and 100% fruit smoothies made with locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. You can listen to other Nightlights programs and view playlists, jazz news, and commentaries on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Christina Kuzmich, executive producer. Our engineer is Michael Paskash, and I'm David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.